Hello and welcome to Chatterbox, the talking news for Norwich. This is edition number 2359 and it was recorded on Thursday the 22nd of January 2026. Welcome from me, Ruth Murray, and today, as usual, I am joined by my glamorous assistant, Paul Henderson. Today we have our usual mix of items, news from the city, some letters to the evening news, two features which will be read by Sam Elmhurst, and an edition of Just Talk. Here's David Potten to give us a taster.
Hello, I'm David Potten. After this week's Chatterbox, we will have the January 2026 edition of Just Talk. There's a mix of regular features and special contributions. Gal Tina and David Clayton will join our regular readers with bingo and tomfoolery, stories about Edith Cavell and Shirley Jones, and visits to Shady Pines and Village Signs. In addition, we will have special contributions from David Harewood in London and from Chris Skinner just outside Norwich. And, as usual, there'll be useful advice from Citizens Advice and from Vision Norfolk. And there is more news about the plight of Mr. S. Noman. So there is plenty to look forward to just after this edition of Chatterbox.
Thank you, David. And hello to you all. The glamorous assistant speaks. We send a warm welcome to two new listeners this week. Hello and welcome to Dorothy Johnson and Deborah Hewitt, both from Norwich. We hope you enjoy the programme. We begin our first set of news items with a warning for anyone doing any gardening. A retiree described his shock at finding a grenade hidden among rocks while clearing away dirt in his garden. Steve Porfreyman, 67, was renovating his bungalow at the end of Pen Close in Taverham when he discovered the rusted device covered in dirt by the side of his house. The former gardener, who bought the property last June from an elderly couple, said he initially thought it was a rock when he picked it up before realising it was a hand grenade. He said it was unstable and anything could have happened. It is better to be safe than sorry. You do not know if they are active. It was really corroded and you couldn't see the pin. But I did think it was unlikely to go off. I was unsure, so I called my daughter to get a second opinion. She asked her granddad, who was in the RAF, and he said it was a grenade. And my daughter phoned the police. One of the police said it was an American grenade. Within an hour of making the call, the police had descended on the quiet cul-de-sac and closed the road at 2 p.m. Neighbours were warned they might have to evacuate their homes. An exclusion zone was put around the bungalow. The bomb squad were called in and made the device safe. Emergency services left the road at 7:30 p.m.
Swimmers at a city leisure centre are delighted that bosses at the site have increased the temperature of the water. Visitors to Riverside Leisure Centre had complained that the pool was too cold to use. But now, after the evening news reported on the issue, swimmers say the water has reached an acceptable level. Mark Fuller, who regularly uses the gym and campaigned for the pool temperature to increase, said, "I am pleased to report the pool has been consistently warmer since the story broke. Not exactly balmy, and certainly not as warm as the Wyndham pool, but it is now at an acceptable level that doesn't shock you rigid when you first get in." Mr. Fuller took to social media to share his exasperation at the pool's temperature, to which hundreds of people responded. Many of them agreed with his concerns, with some even saying they'd stopped visiting the gym over the freezing temperatures. In Mr. Fuller's latest post, it seems the warmer swimming pool is welcome news and could even see swimmers return to the gym.
I don't think we're going to hear the last of that. Dozens of tributes have been paid to a beloved donkey, known for his loving and friendly nature, who has died. Norman grazed in Buttercup Meadow in Old Catton with his friend Gary for 16 years before dying at about the age of 20 on January the 5th. The pair of donkeys belonged to Mark Clifford, who rescued both of them from a sanctuary. Mr. Clifford said, "I nursed them back to health and have continued to look after them for the last 16 years. They're like my pets." Norman was so loving, he would go up to anyone, whereas Gary was quite standoffish. "Norman would come and rest his head on my shoulder." When Mr. Clifford found Norman dead in the meadow, he said Gary was walking around him and braying. The 73-year-old said it was completely unexpected. Mr. Clifford shared the news on Facebook and was met with a wave of support from hundreds of people paying tribute to Norman. Now Mr. Clifford's next priority is finding another partner to keep Gary company. He said, "Donkeys pair for life, so I need to pair Gary, but I don't know whether it will be through the donkey sanctuary or whether to raise money for one." Mr. Clifford added his daughter has started fundraising to purchase another donkey.
The Norwich Philharmonic Society has announced part two of its 2025-26 season. The four concerts will also see the orchestra and chorus returning to their home in St Andrew's Hall, newly refurbished since its closure for major works in January 2024. The first concert will take place at the Norfolk Event Centre at the Showground on February the 14th and feature the winner of the Liszt International Piano Competition in 2017, Alexander Ullman. Moving forward to March 21st, the Society will return to St Andrew's Hall, conducted by Ashley Grote. The programme will include Elgar's oratorio, The Dream of Gerontius, with soloists Diana Moore, Gwilym Bowen and Ashley Riches. After the success of the last two seasons, children's concerts will be held at the King's Centre on March the 28th. The orchestra will perform in the Norfolk and Norwich Festival at St Andrew's Hall on May the 23rd for the closing concert. Under the baton of both Matthew Andrews and Ashley Grote, this unique concert will celebrate the musical genius of William Walton. For more information, visit the Society's website.
I'm very pleased to hear my choir being mentioned there. We finish this section with two stories about the proposed local government changes that are in the offing. A decision to delay this year's elections at Norwich City Council and other English authorities could be challenged in the courts as anger mounts at moves to postpone the votes. Nigel Farage, leader of Reform, has said he will seek a judicial review if the government accepts the request by the City Hall and other councils not to hold ballots in May. 25 councils across the country have asked ministers to postpone their votes, saying it will help them deliver a proposed reorganisation of local government. However, the moves have sparked fierce criticism. Most of the councils seeking a delay, including Norwich, are run by Labour, and political opponents have accused them of seeking postponements because they fear defeat at the ballot box. Norwich Labour councillors voted to seek a deferral during a fiery meeting at City Hall on Wednesday the 14th of January, where the opposition warned the move risked eroding people's trust in democracy. Lucy Galvin, leader of the Green Party group on Norwich Council, questioned whether the cost of public confidence had been calculated, while others called it a political decision at a time when Labour is struggling in the polls. "This is about doing our best for democracy, a precious thing, which is currently under attack," she said. But Mike Stonard, leader of Norwich's Labour group, denied accusations his party was running scared from voters, pointing to a precedent being set in 2019 and in 2021, when a raft of other councils had elections delayed while going through a council shake-up. "The tsunami of change is about to hit, ready or not," he said, warning a huge amount of work will be required once the government announces how Norfolk will be split into new councils. He added that delaying elections will save at least £250,000 and avoid council work being stalled during the pre-election period.
Well, more on this issue, the leader of Norfolk County Council's clarification over whether May's County Hall election should go ahead has triggered fresh criticism. The Liberal Democrats say the Greens and Reform UK say County Hall's Conservative leader Kay Mason Billig's latest letter to the government effectively makes the case for them to be postponed. The row was triggered after Labour ministers invited councils in areas where local government shake-ups are planned, including Norfolk, to say whether they wanted elections delayed. But Mrs. Mason Billig says nothing has changed since her initial response to the government's request for views and was surprised ministers sought clarification. In public meetings, the council's Conservative leader had said she had no intention of asking for a delay and she did not explicitly request one in her response. She said she wanted to emphasise the electorate's right to vote, which I hold dearly and, as a Conservative, would wish to see protected. But she warned, should the election for all 84 county councillors happen, it could threaten proposals to devolve powers to local councils and for the government's plans to abolish and replace all 8 of Norfolk's councils. Local Government Secretary Steve Reid wrote back, asking the council to clarify its position. He said, County Hall, unlike Labour-led Norwich City Council, which has asked for a delay to its elections, had not made a clear request as to whether it wanted elections postponed.